Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Sunday, August 24th. Say it with me. Happy Resurrection Day. I'm so grateful for the hope that we have because of Jesus Christ and His resurrection. In Isaiah chapter 6, today we're going to be reading verses 1 through 7. This is a familiar passage where Isaiah enters into the courts of the Lord and he recognizes his guilt. The verse that stuck out to me today, though, is verse 3, where it talks about the whole earth being full of God's glory. I want you to think about that. Where today do you see the glory of the Lord on display? Isaiah's vision of the Lord in the ESV. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." What a beautiful song that the seraphim sing, "Holy, holy, holy." Let us take a minute to think about the holiness of the Lord. He does not sin. He is perfectly righteous. He holds mercy and justice in perfect unity. And his grace is beautiful. Before this King, before this God, Isaiah stands. And he is in awe. In fact, he thinks, "Oh, I shouldn't be here. I'm a man of unclean lips." And yet one of the seraphim takes a coal from the altar and brings it as a symbol and presses it to Isaiah's lips. And he declares him free from guilt. That freedom from guilt is what we feel when we come to Jesus Christ, our Lord, and say, "I know that I'm a sinner in need of a Savior." And Jesus also metaphorically touches our lips with a coal from the sacrifice that he himself offered on the altar, that he became that sacrificial lamb and atoned for our sins. Tomorrow we'll read more about what the Lord says to Isaiah and the commissioning of the Lord in Isaiah's life. Let's move on over now to the book of Acts, chapter 2. We'll be reading verses 37 through 41. Remember, we're in the context of Peter having preached a sermon to the people who saw the Spirit poured out on the believers. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, and for your children, and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. N.T. Wright, in one of his study books on Acts, says this about the passage we read. In this passage, we are witnessing the beginning of the Christian theme called salvation. You might note there in verse 40, he says, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." Salvation points toward a very concrete and particular reality in the future, the promise not only of heaven after death, but of resurrection into God's new creation. What God has promised for the ultimate future has come forward to meet us in Jesus Christ. Whenever we are in a mess, of whatever sort and for whatever reason, we should remember that we are turned back and be rescued people. We are repent and be baptized people. Something that I saw in the passage that stuck out to me, I just wanted to make mention of. Do you remember how many received the word and were baptized on that day? You're right, 3,000 people. I think last Sunday we had like 620 in worship. Oh, to be in a place where 3,000 people come to recognize their sin, to repent and turn from a crooked generation, and to find rest knowing that Jesus saves them from themselves and saves them for eternity. This is something to celebrate. One of the reasons I love the book of Acts is just full of stories and also full of hope. Now let us turn to Psalm 43. We'll be reading verses 3 and 4. As I read this psalm in preparation, I was reminded of Sandra McCracken's song, "Send Out Your Light," which is based on Psalm 43. And I wanted to read for you one of the stanzas, and I hope you'll look it up later. "Send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Bring me to your holy hill, your dwelling. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. Then I will praise him with all my heart. Oh, my joy, my joy." Psalm 43, verses 3 and 4. "Send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. And I will praise you with the lyre, O God, my God." Thank you for listening along as we read God's word together. Will you pray with me? Father, I thank you for my brothers and sisters. We're reminded of the hope that we have because of Jesus Christ, and we can have forgiveness of sins in his name. Thank you for saving us. We lift up our hearts to you and ask your provision and your pursuit of those in our families, friend groups, and communities that need to know your saving grace. I'm just going to leave a moment for you to pray. We thank you for Isaiah's vision. We pray, Lord, that we would dream dreams and have visions of your glory and that it would change our lives. I pray, Lord, that even if we don't have visions, that our purpose would be clear, that we would know that we are to live in a way that brings light and love to others and shares the great message of repentance that's found in Jesus Christ. Lord, as we enter into your sanctuary today, would you fill our hearts with joy? Would you send out your light and your truth? And would those be the leading and guiding factors in our lives? We pray all these things in the strong name of Jesus our Lord. Amen.